All right, I need a couple of volunteers. Just to hand out something, I'm not going to make you talk or do anything. I just, I need like three or four. I'm going to give each person one of these. And also, I got another. Ricky, will you help me? We hand out, if you want a writing utensil this morning, Ricky's going to hand out writing utensils. Can you raise your hand if you want something to write with? This is going to be a service that requires participation this morning. If you thought you were just going to get off the hook by coming and listening to me talk, well, I'm all stuffy this morning. You don't want to listen to me talk for very long. And that's not just what we're here to do anyway. John mentioned this morning that this is often the time where we set some goals for ourselves, and I loved his because I think that'll be mine too, because I start thinking about, okay, what are the things that I need to work on this year? And the list gets longer and longer and longer, and I'm like, all right, just fix my life. That'll suffice. You know, just like get myself together.
That was fix your life, not your wife.
Yeah, that was fix my... Life. I did say life, not wife, just in case. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification, in case that came out funny. Now, each year, as the beginning of the year, I like to take time to consider what God has been doing in my life, to give him thanks, and then to ask him, Lord, what is it that you have for me in the future? And we're going to be doing some of that together this morning as a fellowship of believers. But before we do, I want to read some scripture. So turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. This is one of my favorite passages in all of scripture. This whole chapter, I just love what Paul has to say here. It's been very important to me ever since I was a little kid following Jesus trying to figure this out. And I'm still sometimes feel like a little kid following Jesus trying to figure it out. And God has used this in many, many ways in my life. And I'm praying that he will bless you with what we read today. We're going to read Philippians 3, starting with verse 7. It says this, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." As we think about our lives, I want to live a life before God that is on purpose. I don't want to be scattered, and I don't want to be blown around by everything that just comes along, everything that's going on in the world. Like, I have this image in my head. The other day, I was changing a light bulb in our van in the parking lot of the AutoZone in Harrisonburg, and it was very windy and cold, and I dropped a piece of trash, and I had to chase it across the parking lot. Have you ever tried to pick up a piece of trash in the wind? It is not fun, right? And I'm like going this way and that way and running and sprinting, and I almost got it. And like sometimes we can be like that ourselves, where there's all these outside forces acting upon us, and we're being pushed one way and another way, and we're just scattered and everywhere like that piece of trash blowing across the parking lot. And I don't want to live like that. That's chaos before God. But if I'm going to live with purpose, I have to know what my purpose is. What is my goal? If I'm running a race, I don't want to run aimlessly, but rather I want to have a goal, an end line in sight. And Paul lays out his end line for us, and that is knowing Christ. He talks about his life in this chapter. A few verses earlier, he talks about all the reasons that he has to have confidence in himself, in his abilities, in his flesh. He describes his credentials, and he basically says, hey, I was born of the people of Israel. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. When it came to the law of God, I lived as a Pharisee. When it came to zeal for God, I was persecuting the church. Like, according to the old way of living, like, I was the stuff, you know, like, I was it. And yet, those things that were once to my credit, I now consider them a loss, a deficit. And he has very strong words. He says, I consider it a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In other words, there's nothing that is better than being in relationship with Jesus, and it's worth losing everything. He says, I've lost all those things. I consider them garbage. And this word garbage is the word for dung. It's like, forgive me, but a piece of poop laying in the yard, you know, like that dog that comes through your yard and you're like, ah, you know, like that's how Paul views all of his past achievements, all of his past abilities, all of his social status that he had acquired in the world of Judaism. He's like, I view it as refuse, as dung in comparison to knowing Christ. And I want to gain Christ and be found in him, is what he says. And he says, I'm not going to have a righteousness that comes from doing good things. I can't be good enough. But the righteousness or the goodness that I have comes from what Christ has done for me. And he says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. This is so important because I want to have the life of Christ, and you want to have the life of Christ. Christ offers us new life and victory over death in him, but he invites us to share that life. And as he does, the way to participate in that life is to participate in the sufferings. And very often in certain Christian circles, we want to talk about living a victorious life, and God does give us victory over trials and struggles and temptations, but that is often going through difficulties and hardships rather than just avoiding them altogether. Jesus Christ won victory over death by going to a cross and dying in our place. And we follow him, becoming like him in his death, laying down our lives so that then we might participate in his life, which is ultimately resurrection from the dead. And so he says that I want to not only participate in the power of resurrection, but I know that I need to have fellowship in Christ's sufferings. I'm going to go through some hard things, and the end result of that, as I stay in Christ, is I'm going to receive resurrection from the dead, new life in him. So our goal then, so that we're not blown around aimlessly by all the things that are happening in the world, the news, the pressures at our job, the difficulties with our family, is in the midst of it all, we need to have a solitary focus on Jesus Christ, that our prime goal in life is to know him and be found in him. And then he talks about the mindset that he has in getting there. And I like what he says here. He says in verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Like, here's a man who had a vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life was radically changed. We studied this as we looked at the book of Acts, and we watched how he traveled all around the Mediterranean world, preaching the good news of Jesus. He has done many things. He has suffered many things for Christ. He has brought many people to faith. Yet here he is writing, and he's like totally humble and evaluating himself, and he's like, "I don't think I've arrived yet." And I want to just echo his sentiments. Like, "I don't think I've arrived yet." Like, he says, "I've not obtained my goal, but I'm continuing to press on. I'm striving. I'm putting every effort into taking hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." In other words, Jesus Christ has a purpose for us to share his life with us, and we press on to take hold of that gift. He repeats that idea. I haven't taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And as we think about this new year that we're entering, I don't know what last year was like for you. I mean, I do if I sit down and think individually. Like, you've shared some things with me. I've shared some things with you about how this last year has been. But I don't know the depths of what you've dealt with this past year. But we serve a God, as Jim reminded us last week, who makes all things new. Forgetting what is behind is realizing that the things that have happened in the past, I can't necessarily go back and change. And this isn't just bad things. These are good things too. Paul had plenty of good things to look back on. He had plenty of bad things to look back on. And what he says is basically, I'm not living back there. Jim reminded us again that my past does not define me, the good or the bad. But rather, I'm reaching, I'm straining towards what is ahead, the goals that God has for me in this life, that I can take hold of the life that he has given me in Christ. And so, it's not that we never want to go back and reminisce or evaluate or think through or get healing from what is in the past. We're not just like talking about ignoring it per se, but we're realizing that those things ultimately don't determine my future, whether good or bad, and I'm focusing toward what it is that God is leading me into. And so he says, all of us then in verse 15 who are mature should take such a view of things. Like, part of growing up in Christ, being mature in Christ, is realizing that I'm not living in my past. My past does not define me. And I'm pursuing what's ahead. I haven't obtained it yet, but I'm striving towards the goal that God has for me. And he says, if you guys come to something where you think differently, God will make clear to you what the truth is. And then in verse 16, he says, only let us live up to what we've already obtained. And this is key, because we want to have an understanding of who we are in Christ, how God sees us in Christ. If we've put our faith in Christ, God sees us as righteous. God sees us as good. He sees us as holy. We stand before him as his dearly loved children. And that is what we are, so therefore we ought to act like it. We ought to live it out. That's what this verse is saying. It's like we have attained a certain status before God, not because of our righteousness or goodness, but because of what Christ has done. So therefore, let us act that way and live it out. So what we're going to do in the next few minutes is we're going to take some time, both individually and together, to reflect on what God has been doing in our lives and to ask him what he wants to continue to do in our lives. I have handed out a sheet of paper. I'm going to ask you to consider some of these questions. I'm going to talk through them in just a minute, and then I'll give you a number of minutes to pray and seek the Lord's face about several of them. But as we do this, I want you to ask God to reveal his heart to you and what he wants to do in your life. And then after we take some time individually, we're going to split up into groups, and we're going to talk about this, and we're going to pray for one another. And this is very, very important, because I want to begin the year with an understanding of what church is supposed to be. We have incorporated this kind of time into our gatherings more and more as we have progressed over the course of the last several years. And this is not something we're going to do every Sunday. It's not something that we're going to do once a month. But it is very important to me that we all understand that church is about us together seeking God together. You know, I remember being young and we would go to worship services and people would turn down the lights and be like, just imagine it's you and God. I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with that. That's okay at times. But God didn't put you here so it would just be you and him. He put you here so that it would be you and him and everyone else together. We are in need of one another. I need you and you need me. I need to hear the voice of God through you. You need to hear the voice of God through me. And God encourages his people as we spend time together and as we live life together. So we're going to do some stuff individually and then together. Let me just go over the questions. How have I experienced connection with God during this past year? How has he shown me love? What has he spoken to me? What are the things that God has been teaching me? Are there particular passages of scripture that he has been using in my life to reveal himself to me? What have you learned about God in this past year? How has he shown himself and his goodness to you? Question two, what am I doing that is helping me connect with God? As I go through different seasons of life, different things help me connect to God in new ways, fresh ways, different ways. Some things that worked very well last year maybe didn't work so well this year. Things change in life, and we have different perspectives. We have different problems. We have different difficulties, and God shows up in different ways. So maybe it's the simple things like prayer and scripture reading, being silent before him, taking Sabbath before him. Maybe it's music or service to other people, being with people, friends, fellow believers who encourage us. What are the things that are helping you connect with God right now in this season of your life? Three, is there something the Holy Spirit is leading me to add or change or remove so that I might draw closer to God? The answer for that may be yes, and the answer may be no. Like, you might be right where God wants you, and you don't need to make any changes right at this moment. But transformation is a process that takes place over time. God continues to grow us, and it's not like it has to be all one way right now. There's this just gradual process that God uses to change us. Is there something, we want to be open to the Holy Spirit, is there something that he wants to do differently in our lives? Next question, with whom is God calling me to share his love and grace? God is putting people in our lives that need to know his kindness and his mercy, his compassion, his truth. Who are those people specifically? Let God bring them to your mind. What part is God calling me to play in his restoration of the world? We spent so much of last year reading through the book of Acts about how we are called to be witnesses and how God is calling the world to himself and renewing all things. God is restoring the world, and he's inviting you to partner with him in that task and to be his witness. So what part is God calling you to play in that? What specific things is he telling you to do in your life that further his kingdom? And then finally, where do I need God's grace, provision, and strength in my life? Where do I just need God to show up and meet my needs and help me? We won't have time for you to go through all those questions. Maybe one or two stood out to you. We're going to take a few minutes before God, just silently, quietly, and ask God to speak to us regarding one of these things. Reflect, consider what God might be wanting to do in your life. Let's pray together. It's about 5 minutes. We're not used to doing 5 minutes of silence in a regular church service. That's the first 5 minutes of silence I've had in 2 weeks. So kids go back to school tomorrow. That's a joke. That is a joke, but a little bit of truth in there. Stretching those muscles of being still before God and seeking his face and listening to his voice. And again, that's not nearly enough time to answer a couple of these questions, but it's enough to get us a start. And the next thing we're going to do is we're going to split up into groups. And here's what I'm going to ask of you. I want you to get in groups 3 to 4, no more than that, because we want to have time for people to share. I want you to find someone new. Don't just go to your wife or your family group or whatever. Find someone new. What I want you to do is to share about one of these things. Answer one of these questions for the group. You don't all have to answer the same one, but just briefly say, here's what I've been thinking about. Here's what I think God might be saying to me. Here's where God has wanted me to work, or this is what came to my mind. Things like that. What is it that God is putting on your heart? And after each person has a chance to share, I want you to pray for one another about that thing. And that there's a reason. We can laugh because, you know, we make New Year's resolutions sometimes and we don't keep them. One way that's helpful is, like, if I tell someone what my resolution is or what my goals are, I have someone to answer to, someone to help me stay on track, someone to say, hey, are you keeping up with that area of your life? If I just keep it to myself, well, I can forget about it tomorrow, no big deal. So one of the reasons that we're together here is so that we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We help one another stay on track as we seek Jesus. And it's important that as God calls us to love one another, if we're truly going to love one another, then we have to know what's happening in each other's lives. And we have to share, like, the important things that happen in our lives, the spiritual things. It's very easy to keep conversation on the surface. Man, it's cold outside. What'd you think about the Steelers, Jariah? All those kinds of things, right? It's very easy to have these surface-level conversations, but transformation takes place deep in our hearts, and if we're not willing to open up about the deep things in our hearts, then it's hard for God to do that work as he wants to work through all of us to bless us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. So if you're just visiting with us this morning, if this is your first time here, you're not normally here, I want you to join a group, but just listen. I'm not going to make you talk. You don't have to share. But all of you regular people, I want you to share about what God's been speaking to you, and then I want you to pray together. We're only going to have about 10 minutes or so. So again, not enough time, but enough time to kind of start a conversation, to say a little bit and to pray for one another. So find 2 or 3 other people, that would be a group of 3 or 4, and get connected and share what you're thinking.